thou be made whole.
That's what he asked that gentleman at the pool of Bethesda. Amen. And that man at the pool, been there 38 years, he said, I have no man. Amen. When the water is stirred, to put me in, let me down. Said somebody else always beats me there. And, you know, if he's touched us,
amen,
made us whole, I think we ought to be praising his wonderful name for it. He certainly deserves it. He's a wonderful Lord, a wonderful God, and I'm so grateful for it. Well, I'm going to try to preach this tonight. I don't know if I can get it off the ground or not. I don't know if I can get it off the ground, but we'll certainly do our best. I'm going to have to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 31. Psalms in chapter number 31, if you would please. Psalm 31, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. The psalmist David said in verse 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." He didn't have any problem in his life accepting the fact and letting others know that he was in trouble. He didn't try to cover it up. People today get in trouble and we try to cover it up. We don't want anybody else to know anything about it. We try to hide it and try to hide it from everyone else and hide it from God. But generally, most folks know it, and I know God knows it, so there's no need of trying to hide it. He said, "Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel, for I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contempestuously against the righteous." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the song service tonight and for the privilege to be back in church. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that you've given. What a wonderful book it is. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you've given this as our guide, as a child of God, and, Lord, as the gospel to those that are lost that they might be saved. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the Spirit of God that you've given to be our comforter, one called alongside to help when we are in trouble, when we are in need, when our hearts are broken and grieved. I pray tonight that you'd save that sinner that's nearest hell. God, that you'd deliver them from the powers of sin and Satan. Help them, Lord, to see the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, and turn to Thee that they might be saved. And I do ask you, Lord, to touch me tonight and help me. Lord, you know my frame and you know my heart and you know where I am tonight. And I pray that you'll help. I stand in a difficult place, in a difficult hour. And I pray that you'll help me and bless those that hear tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to take these verses that I preached on tonight, preach a message I preached years and years ago out of the book of Psalms. I never dreamed I'd probably ever preach it again, but I feel like that's what God wants me to try to preach tonight anyway. And I want to try to preach to you tonight on the thought that the story of a sufferer. We don't think much of suffering anymore, but there are those that suffer. And I'll say again in a minute, but many times they suffer very quietly. without ever saying much about it to anyone else except them and the Lord. Now, in the verses that we just read tonight, David tells of the glorious story of one who suffers wrongly for the Savior's sake. And you know, I won't say it is a glorious thing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many that God gives that pleasure or that blessing to. Somebody said, you mean it's a blessing to suffer? It is if the Lord allows you to go through some sufferings and trials. And it is because you're near to Him. And you're near to His life that He lived. No man ever suffered on this earth like the Lord Jesus, both inwardly and in the body as well. No one ever suffered like Him. And when He calls upon one of us to walk through those same fires, it's glorious. It's a real blessing. It's an honor that's not bestowed upon many people. He comes to a particular and a very minute description of his sorrowful case. And if I took time to read the whole psalm, you'd find that David was in great sorrow. He was because he was like a man forgotten. He said he was like a dead man. He said he had heard the slander of many people. His name was being slandered. He was being criticized. He was being persecuted for something that he was not guilty of. You know, and I've learned through the years that he, the man or the woman, whoever it may be, that suffers most is so often, most times, the happiest. They're also, most times, the most blessed, and they live usually with greater victory. Now you say, preacher, that sounds like a paradox. Well, it is a paradox. But I want to say again that many times those that suffer for the cause of Christ are the happiest Christians in all this world. And they're blessed indeed above so many people, so many others that are living for the Lord Jesus, and most of them live in the greatest victory. As I said earlier, no man ever suffered like the Lord. But no man's ever had the victory like our Lord had in His earthly life. He had victory, ladies and gentlemen. He was a victorious one. You know, when we get into a little problem or have a little trouble, a little persecution that comes our way, we're certainly not like the Lord. He took it and He kept on keeping on. But when we run into a little problem in our own life, we want to pooch out our lower lip a little bit and make sure that everybody in the world knows exactly what we're going through and the troubles that we have. But the Lord wasn't like that. And, you know, we ought to be that way. We ought to be happy in the Lord because we're blessed. And we ought to have victory in the Lord as well, knowing that God has let us come alongside Him in His sufferings that He Himself has went through. Now, His sufferings, a man's sufferings, are not always outward. But rather, they're most frequently inward. Amen. That is, most of the time, they're in the heart. Amen. I want to say that is the greatest suffering that a man can do. Amen. Christ suffered greatly in His body on Calvary. There's no doubt about that. When He was at that Roman whipping post, there's no doubt in my mind that pain ran through His body like streaks of lightning every time that whip would come across His back and the flesh would begin to peel from the bones on His body. I'm sure that He endured great pain. When they drove those nails in His hands and His feet, I'm sure that He had great pain. When they crowned Him with a crown of thorns, I'm satisfied that those thorns brought pain in His body. But I'll tell you where He hurt the most was in the heart. He had heart pain. And I'll tell you, heart pain is some of the greatest pain that a person can have. That is exactly right. I've known families that their children have broken their heart and they grieve greatly because of it. You're talking about pain, that's pain. I know men and women likewise that their spouse, one or the other, has left them high and dry. And they love their spouse dearly. Hey, you're talking about pain, that's real pain when that happens. I've known people that way. And suffering inwardly is a whole lot greater painful, is more painfully than what suffering outwardly in our bodies would be. His pain and his sorrowful estate here are usually known by no one but Him. I want to say that again. That man that sorrows mostly and has the greatest pain inwardly or outwardly Generally, nobody ever knows about it but him and the Lord. He doesn't broadcast it around. He keeps it as an inward thing and trusts in the Lord to deliver him from it. David here was being persecuted by his friends, by those that he was acquainted with, even from his enemies. You can see that from his enemies, but not from those that he's acquainted with and his friends, but they all persecuted him alike. And when they saw that he was being persecuted, the Bible said that they all fled from him. And possibly because when they saw him being persecuted, they thought that it was because surely that he had sinned against God. I want to say to you tonight on the authority of the Bible that every time somebody gets sick or every time somebody has problems in their life does not mean that they have sinned in their life and that problem has developed because of sin in their life. I don't belong to that health and wealth crowd. They've got the idea that a man ought to never be sick, that a man ought to ever have a broken heart, that a man not to ever weep tears and be broken on the inside, that he ought to never go without money or this or that. But they've got the wrong idea about life, ladies and gentlemen, about the Christian life. I've done you the Christian life is usually one of suffering somewhere inwardly or outwardly in some way. And there's a lot of times that we do without things that a lot of people think we ought to have. That's right. Those guys like Jimmy Swigert and some of that crowd, you know, they don't believe in the sufferings of a child of God. And neither do they believe in having a spiritual pain in the inward man. They believe that we ought to always be without that. Well, we can have that and still have victory in our heart and life walking every day with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, he can do that because the joy of his salvation overshadows all grief and maintains a holy and a happy estate while he's in the presence of other people. You know, if we're really saved by the grace of God, the joy of being saved ought to overcome every problem that we may ever have in life. And I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you where the problem is when we begin to look at the circumstance around us rather than looking what is up ahead for us. I don't know what tomorrow holds for Brother Hall, but one thing I do know is who holds tomorrow. And like I read in verse number 31, I do know who holds me in His hand. My times are in His hand. God knows exactly what's going to happen to me tomorrow, if I live day after tomorrow, or if I live 10 years. God knows what's going to happen to me. I don't know that, but the Lord does. Amen. And hey, and David just was spiritual enough to put his confidence and his trust in the Lord to deliver him from this persecution and protect him while he was going through it. And that's exactly what God did, and you and I ought to have that same confidence in the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm wondering if there's anybody in here tonight that's suffering a little bit. Anybody in here got weary? You're weary in heart and life. You're troubled in your soul. You've got problems. You've never told anybody anything about it. You've just kept them all on the inside and held them there. Well, maybe it's time you told the Lord about it. Now, I want to say this, that David, when he said this, was talking to the Lord. He wasn't broadcasting it to people around him. Like I said earlier, well, a man won't do that. He was pouring his soul out before the Lord. Now, I really believe that's one of our problems today. We so often hurt on the inside because we fail to pour out our need and our problems unto the Lord. Cast all your care upon me, Jesus said, because I care for you, and He does. Amen. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, I know He cares. In fact, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever loved me like the Lord. No one has ever done for me what Jesus has done for me. No one has ever died for me like Christ died for me. Amen. Nobody ever loved an old drunk like I was, but the Lord Jesus, and I want to praise Him and thank Him for that tonight. Amen. That's right. I remember when I first got saved, I walked down to Underwood Supermarket. Somebody in there said, I heard you got religious. I said, no, I got born again. That religion you can lose. Boy, I'll tell you what I got, you won't lose it. You get born again 6 inches below your collarbone, it won't go away. I'm going to, you know why? Because I'm not holding on to Him. Thank God He's got a grip on me. And while we walk through the valleys of sorrow, and while we walk through the valleys of disappointments and depression and discouragement, thank God He is there to walk through that valley with us, to hold our hand and steady us along the way as we go. Now, some of you in here tonight ought to be shouting. I could come back and put my hand on a number of you in here tonight that I personally know have been right where I'm talking about tonight, and God's brought you through it. And you could be a great testimony to those that are in it right now. If you'd only turn loose and tell about it, now that you're through it, amen, give a good testimony about it and encourage somebody else that's living where you used to live. Amen. It's just like a testimony of being saved. Praise God, that's about all preaching is, really just a testimony of being saved. What God's done for it. I almost wanted to stand up tonight while they were singing, while Brother Doug was singing that song, thanking Him for what He's done. And I just about jumped up when that between them verses and said, hold it! Hold it! Will somebody out there, will you really just thank Him for what He's done? I'm tired of hearing about Grandma's carbuncle and Aunt Susie's ingrown toenail. I'm tired of hearing about folks testifying about how sick they are. Thank God it's time we testified about how good Jesus is. That's exactly right. We may be walking through the fire down here. We may be walking through the flood down here. But I tell you, they're coming today. We get on the other side in the presence of God, ladies and gentlemen. And it won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. Now, I'm going to tell you, most of the time we look at the circumstances around us rather than looking ahead. If we get our eyes off of the ground and stop looking out here and start looking up there, it changed our life. Look in unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Where are you going to look to Him at? You can't find Him but one place as a child of God. He's on the throne, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. So if you see Him, you've got to look up. Amen. That's right. When Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Amen to God. That's exactly right. He is high and lifted up. Now I'm going to tell you, we're going to look unto Jesus. We've got to lift up our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Get them off the circumstances and the troubles of life and get them on Him. Amen. Some of the men was in the back the other night talking about the depression we're in. Now, and I'm not fussing. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And I guess I'll admit the economy is somewhat bad. A lot of people out of jobs. I wouldn't deny that a minute. And the money market's not what it ought to be. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God's not having a depression. He's not even in a recession. God knows exactly what He's doing. When will you ever learn that what God's doing, He's doing for our good and His glory? And one of these days, friend, He'll bring her all together and we'll shout the victory with Him over on the other side. Amen. I wouldn't give a flip about the depression. I wouldn't want Miss Hall to, but I can make it in the pup tent. I have before. In fact, I made it in a poncho liner. Amen. In a mud hole. That's right. Eating sea rations with grease about that thick on the top of them. Opened up one of them boxes of sea rations and it said scrambled eggs. I said, praise God. Amen. Get some eggs out of here. I took that P-38. I still remember what them things are. Took that P-38 and opened up my can. When I rolled that lid back, I'm not going to show you a bit. Them eggs look like an infected sore. Amen. It looked like corruption. I said, they expect me to eat that? Right. I'm going to tell you, I didn't eat it the first few times I got it. But I mean, when I got hungry, I just shut my eyes and held my nose, boy, and went at it. Amen. That's right. Well, it don't take much for a man to get by. And besides that, if the Lord fed the sparrows and took care of the sparrows, He's going to take care of you and I also. Yeah.
Praise God, his eyes on the sparrow. And all the songwriter said that he watches over me. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Dr. Harold Seidler was preaching one time, and he said he was preaching, some time ago I was preaching a revival meeting up in Kingsport. And I don't know how many have ever been in Kingsport, Tennessee in the wintertime. I wouldn't want to live there. Tennessee's a pretty state, but I wouldn't want to live in Kingsport in the wintertime. They got a lot of mills and factories up there, and it's hazy enough the way it is, and all that fog and stuff and smoke and everything. Now, I'm telling you, it's one of the loneliest places in the world. It and Connersville, Indiana. Son, Connersville's death. Don't ever go up there. I had family that lived there, and I don't know how they made it. I couldn't live there if my life depended on it. Same, I wish I could make it in Kingsport. Dr. Seidler said he was preaching revival and said he was feeling sorry for himself, wanting to go back home, wanting to be in Greenville, wanting to be with his family. He said he went down to McDonald's that morning, got him a sandwich, and he was sitting there eating that sandwich. And he said a fella come in, ordered a sandwich, and wrapped it, got it in the bag, and went outside. Said when he went outside, said he opened up and looked at it and just took it and just threw it on the ground and walked off. Said it wasn't long to a little old sparrow come tippy-toeing up through there. And said it wasn't much longer, though two or three or four or five more. And said there were 10, and they just gathered around that bread. And he said they began to stick their little beaks down in them warm loaves of bread. And said the Holy Ghost said to me, said, Harold, said, see them little sparrows out there? Said, I told that man to come in here and buy that sandwich. And I told that man to throw it down on the ground out there. Just so them sparrows could have something to eat. He said, if I'm taking care of them sparrows, don't you think I'm able to take care of you? Yes. Dr. said, I said, Lord, forgive me for being in the mood I'm in. He said, praise God, whatever happened to me here, I'm still saved by the grace of God. And God's still going to take care of me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With his eyes on the sparrow. He watches over me. What a great God we have. You know, we don't really want to suffer much, but the Bible said in Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, get this, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. It's given unto us to do that. It's given unto us to do that. We don't enjoy it, but I'm just here to tell you that it is given unto us to do that. To suffer for His name's sake. I don't see much of it today. I know about real suffering. I don't see much of it today. And some of y'all in here could only see Mama Welch. So I need to do something for you. Me and Miss Hall walked in that little old house down there a number of times down in Nortonville. That little old bony body laying there on the bed all drawled up and the knot probably didn't weigh 75 pounds. Raise that little, and the nurse would say, Mama, said the preacher's here. And said she, and I'm top, you can ask Miss Hall, she's sitting over there. She'd raise that little old hand up in the air and she'd say, oh, preacher, she said, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Said, I done got too near home to turn back now. And I'm going to tell you, she wasn't nothing but a rack of bones. But I'm going to tell you what, she still knew that one day right down the street she lived on, under an old-fashioned gospel tent, she heard the gospel and got saved by the grace of Almighty God. And although she was sick and her body was worn and weary and she was bedfast, she was still happy in God.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful? I'm going to tell you something else. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul asked for it. Paul asked for it. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and also, don't forget this, the fellowship of His sufferings, Paul said. I want to know what it's like to suffer like Jesus suffered. Somebody said, I don't. Well, it won't come easy. But I'm going to tell you, it'll sure make a real Christian out of you. If you'll take it with the Spirit of God, what the Lord has laid on you to go through, that valley of despondency and despair that He's put on you to go, whatever it might be, like I said earlier, I don't know your heart, but God does. But if we'll take it with the right spirit, oh, I'm telling you, friend, it'll be a great blessing and a help to us. Here was a man that not only, he said he asked God to let him go through it. I'm going to tell you, and I believe the reason why is that he might be closer to the Lord, have a better understanding. We want to understand Him. Come on in the house. Now I'm getting ready to skin us. I got to watch myself. I better get a drink of water on that one. I forgot where was that now. Help me, Dove. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. We say that we want to understand Him. Give us more understanding, Lord. Well, if you want to understand Him more, you're going to have to walk where He walked.
Amen.
You're going to have to experience what He experienced. Somebody said, well, I can learn it in the Bible. Oh, yeah. No. You can read the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, hey, experience, ladies and gentlemen, comes along with that Bible. Tell me, you can read the Bible about tithing all you want to, but if you never tithe, they ain't going to help you to read the Bible about tithing. But if you want to learn about the Lord, and you read in the Bible where it says that they all turned against Him. The shepherd was smitten, and the sheep were scattered. They mocked Him. We think them fellas out there, standing out there with them little old signs was bad news. That ain't nothing. That don't amount to a hill of beans. I wouldn't give you a dime for that nonsense. Yeah, that's not persecution. That's not really even real trouble. That's not even real pain like David had. That's not real sorrow. That's not sorrow. I'm gonna tell you something. You hear me what I'm telling you? The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'll paraphrase it, the more a man knows, the more sorrow he's going to have in his heart, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, you cannot help from learning about the Lord and have greater sorrow in your heart knowing about Him.
Amen.
If anything, it ought to break our heart knowing what He does for us.
Amen.
Praise God, that's it. I feel like running my head through a wall right about now to know what God's done for me. Yes, He woke up Calvary's Hill with His entrails hanging out and a cross on His back. They might have compelled Simon to carry it, but I don't believe He carried it. And yet you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm telling you, John said, I saw Him coming, and He was buried in His own cross. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you this. He wouldn't tell me and you to take up our cross every day and come after Him if He didn't bear His. He bore His own cross. That's exactly right.
Amen.
And we want to know about Him. Do we really? Do we want to become... we want to enter into the fellowship of His sufferings and be made conformable unto His death? Do you know what that means? Being conformed to His death? That'd be like saying, I'd like to be conformed to that glass of water. Well, if you are, you're going to look like that glass of water. If you're going to be conformed to His death, conformable unto His death, and that means that you're going to have to go through a whole lot.
Amen.
To be conformed in death like He was. Are we able to walk where He walked? Are we able to be baptized with the baptism wherewith He was baptized with?
Amen.
I wonder how many of us are. When James and John's mother asked Jesus, said, I've got a question for you. I want you to do me something. He said, what is it? He said, that my sons, one may sit on your right hand, the other on your left in your kingdom. And she said, you don't know what you asked for. She said, can they be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And He said, surely they will. They will be. But said, for one to sit on one side and one to sit on the other hand is not mine to give, but of the Father's only. And I'm going to tell you, they did. You know what happened to both those boys, James and John? You read the book of Acts, you'll find out real quick what happened to James. They cut his head off!
Amen.
And John was boiled in oil and put out on the Isle of Patmos by himself, alone.
Amen.
He didn't have WSOF to listen to.
Amen.
Now I guarantee you there wasn't no television set where he could watch out the world spins either. In fact, I don't think there's anybody out there with him.
Amen.
He was exiled.
Amen.
And we think we have it rough. God help us.
Amen.
Anybody in here ever went into the dental lines?
Go ahead,
anybody in here ever walked through a fiery furnace, heated how many times hotter than any fire on earth? Seven times. Anybody ever been through that? I don't know if anybody has. Anybody in here ever went through what Paul suffered? Read some things that Paul went through. God help us. Brother, well, I won't even say that. No, I won't say what I started to say because it was something the preacher preached the other day down there at a meeting, and I won't. Well, I might say it too if I keep on thinking about it. I believe Brother Steve told me, the preacher down there the other day said that when Moses is on the backside of the desert, he's out of the will of God. Come on! Where is people coming from, ladies and gentlemen? What I said this morning about the Word of God being precious. When was Moses outside of the will of God on the backside of the desert? He was there for 40 years being trained of God to do a job God had him to do. Well, now the will of God? No. I don't think he was. How would you like to be put out on the backside of a desert? But I don't believe he had a dull moment. You know why? Jesus was there with him every step of the way, friend. Every day, every moment of the day, Jesus was there training him, preparing him, getting him ready to go and deliver his people from bondage. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that he walked through the fire that he might do a job for God. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we ever do anything for the Lord, we're going to have to walk through a little bit of the fire as well. If we ever accomplish anything for God, we're going to have to go through some pain and some sorrow and some hurt in our lives if we're going to ever accomplish what God wants us to on this earth.
Amen.
Most people don't want to stay in the fire long enough to get the dross burnt out of them. Amen. Now, it is only in the presence of God that this man of sorrows pours out his heart, that he might find grace and help in time of need. David, while he was in this psalm, unbosoms his heart to God. That is, he just pulled it open and said, "Here it is, Lord." He just pulled his heart open and said, "You know what's in me. Here's what's inside of my heart." Can I read a little bit of it? He said, "My life is spent with grief." He said, "My years in sighing. My strength's failing me. My bones are consumed. I'm a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors and the fear of mine acquaintance. They that did see me fled from me." Said, I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. He just poured that out to God. He just opened up his heart. I'm telling you, that's one of our needs today, is to open our heart up to Him.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we get sin in our life or a need in our life, and we seem like we want to wrap ourselves around our own heart and protect that from God's sin. And I'm telling you, it's an impossibility to do. What God wants us to do is to acknowledge our sin before God and to agree with our adversary whilst we're in the way with Him. Somebody said, "What does that mean?" That means, "Bless God, if me and Brother Jerome is walking hand in hand, Jerome be Jesus and I'll be a sinner. Come on, Brother Jerome. Now I'm a sinner and I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to tell you what my problem is. I got this sin in my life.
Yes.
Think you can help me with it?"
"Yes, sir."
"I'm going to tell you, I got the sin of pride.
You
need to do something with it?"
"Yeah, you got to get rid of it."
"Got to get rid of it, don't you? I got to confess it, right?"
"Yeah."
"If I confess it, will you cleanse me of it?"
"Yeah."
"Wash it away?"
"Yes."
What I'm saying is, folks, you've got to unbosom your heart to Him.
Amen.
I mean, tell Him about it.
Yes.
So, and I'm saying the reason most folks don't, we don't never get any private prayer time where we're able to do that. All the time we ever pray, we come to church, we don't want a neighbor kneeling next to us to hear what we're saying. Take time, men, to find you a stump out in the woods somewhere if you have to, and pray and pour out your heart to God. You've got plenty of stumps down there to do it on.
Amen.
I think next time I go down there instead of hunting turkey, I'll pray.
That's right.
Start praying, pray. God, they might a whole flock of them come up. Are they flocks or herds? Might be deer and turkey both come up through there. That 12-point buck may turn broadside and say, "Here I am, Paul. Let me have it, buddy."
"That's right."
"Take your best shot, pal." "I'd probably miss." He'd say, "I said, take your best shot, not shots. Bye." You know what I'd get? I've got that a few times. David lays bare his own wounds. He expresses his inward desolation. In fact, he said, hey, I am desolate. What he's saying is, I feel like I'm alone. I feel like there's no one else around me. I feel like I'm in this thing by myself. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not poor mouthing. But I'm telling you, sometimes as a preacher, we get to feeling like we're in this thing by ourselves. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm sure they hear things about me as well. But sometimes you catch, if you just listen with your ears and keep your eyes open, you can catch some preachers and doing some things that is just not, that it's just not what ought to be done. And if you look back, you can honestly say in your life, if you look back, there's preachers that's been through here. I'm not talking about any preachers that's been through here that ain't done nothing but use us. Preachers going to meetings, they want to stop over spot, a key. But then you have a meeting, and they wouldn't come by if their life depended on it. See, I watch those things like that in people. Caused me to lose a little respect for somebody. I'm sure they've lost respect for me. But I've lost a little respect for them too.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, and because of these things, a lot of preachers feel alone. I'm going to tell you where it's getting worse every day. There is not much fellowship for a man of God these days with other preachers. Boy, it's getting few and far between. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And then most of those that are close by don't want anything to do with you.
Amen.
Well, that's all right. David was out there with that little flock of sheep, and that's all he had was him and his sheep.
Amen.
And he made it just fine.
Good.
And as long as you can handle me, bless God, I can tell you, I can handle you.
Good.
As long as you can put up with me, I can put up with you.
Amen.
And I've got my flock of sheep. I don't need somebody else's. I ain't looking for nobody else's. Don't want nobody else's. But I don't want nobody else poking around looking for mine either.
Yeah.
Now, I just now got to the message. I'll quit at 8 o'clock. David's cry, look at verse 9. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. David's cry for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Why? Because he said that I'm consumed. I'm consumed with grief. David was exhausted. David had fought this battle so long he was tired. Can I say this to you? And I'm not poor mouthing. And I'm going to tell you the marathons are getting no easier. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to have to do if we're going to keep things going with it. We're going to have to quit coming in here and eating so much and carrying on so much, fellowshipping so much. We're going to have to come in here and pray. And ask God to help us. If we don't, I'm telling you, we're not going to make it. Can you hear me?
Amen.
So I said, don't bother us. It doesn't bother me.
Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, I ain't worried about the stinking money. What bothers me is about getting out the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world around us.
Amen.
But then we better start thinking about it.
Amen.
When we come in, that's right. David was... He was exhausted. He was tired. And I'll just be quite honest with you. I'm starting to get tired and weary a little bit.
Amen.
In body and soul. And seeing what's going on. And the apathy of people. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the apathy of people out there in general. And the apostasy of people out there. A lot of them have turned to other, quote, unquote, Christian radio stations that wouldn't know Jesus if he walked up in front of them. Somebody said, you oughtn't to say that. Too late. I done did. And that's not good English. I know it. That's a double negative, but that's all right. I done did anyway.
That's right.
That's exactly. Y'all can sit out there and look down your nose at me if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, most folks today, if they have got an alternative to truth, they're not going to follow truth. They will not believe the truth, and we're coming to that day when men will not believe the truth, but they'll believe a lie and be damned because of it.
Amen.
Exactly what the Bible said. I didn't say that. Jesus did. If you got a problem with it, you go to Him, talk to Him about it. Amen. Now, there's three areas where David said he was consumed. He said his eye. not I. That word I is a fountain. It means a fountain. Tears come out of it. What is going on in somebody's heart when tears coming out of their eyes? One of their emotions is stirred up. Go to a funeral, people generally cry sometimes. A lot of times they do. Sometimes anymore they don't. See a loved one hurt and in need, you weep, tears come out of your eyes. It's like a fountain. He said, my eyes consumed with grief. It's like a fountain. David said, it's just like an ever-flowing fountain that water never stops. In other words, he's saying, I'm crying day and night over the problems that I'm facing. I don't know what to do with them. And God, if you don't handle them for me, they won't get taken care of. I've got to run. Boy, I can tell you, I say, I'm running out of time. He said to my soul, he not only said, not only my eye, but he said, consumed with grief, yea, my soul. That word soul just means breath. It means his vitality. His vitality. He said, I'm about to lose my vitality. In other words, he's lost his hope. In other words, his get up and go done got up and went. And then he said, my belly. That, and believe it or not, fellas, all of us, you got to eat, right? Do you know what that word belly means there? It means to be empty or hollow. Ain't very many empty bellies are in this world today, friend. Not in America. But what he's saying there, he said his belly, he said, I'm exhausted. Get up and go is gone. I'm consumed. You know what the word consumed means? Ain't nothing left. I'm consumed with grief over my problem. And it's got up and gone. It's consumed me. Then David's complaint in verse number 10. Look what he said. For my life is spent with grief. I read the wrong verse a minute ago, I guess. He said, for my life and all my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. David's complaint. He begins to complain a little bit about his problem. And by the way, when you say complaint in the Word of God, it don't mean you're griping. Doesn't mean when you see an old-time writer say, talk about one of the David's complaints, it don't mean David's griping or belly aching. It means that David is bringing the situation before God. He's bringing his condition before God. And here's what he said, David's complaint. He said, his strength is failing. He said, my strength faileth because of my iniquity. He said, my body is failing. He said, my bones are consumed. My body is failing me. He said, my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. He said, my years are failing me. And I want to tell you something. You know what it means for your years to fail you? David, I believe, wrote that when he was an elder statesman. Now, I might be wrong. It only means one of two things. Either that you're failing in what you're doing in your lifespan, or else your years are about over. I believe David said, my years are failing me. He said, what? Hey, they're just about gone. And I believe really what he's saying in the heart. Lord, I don't want to come after me, God, like this. Come on now. Say two or three things here. His adversaries were shortening his days and digging for him an early grave. And they will. You know what Dr. Nadeau or whatever it is told me down there the other day? He said, you're a worrywart. You know what the doctor run the tube now when I had the hemorrhage down in my stomach when I was in Bible college said? He said, man, you got to slow down. You're working at both from both ends of the candle. You can't do that. You got to slow down a little bit. In other words, what they're saying is that those things are digging a grave for me early in my life. But I've got news for them. They don't know who I know. Amen. That's right. And said he spent all his days in the dungeon of distress. We think we got it rough. Have you ever read the David's life and really read through the Psalms? I've studied the Psalms. I love the Psalms. They're my book. Them and Solomon, they're my books. And I've studied David's life. And I'm telling you, he was in trouble and out of trouble and in trouble and out of trouble. But he stayed in trouble more than he stayed out of trouble. It was just like he lived in the dungeon of distress all of his life.
Amen.
But God was making a king out of him.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, listen here. Hey, here's what Charles Spurgeon said. I want you to listen carefully. Spurgeon said, grief is a sad market to spend all our wealth of life in. He said it's not a good place to live. But he said it's far more profitable trade may be driven there than in Vanity Fair. You read that book, Pilgrim's Progress. You know what Vanity Fair is. And he said, I'd rather be in the dungeon of distress than I would be spend my time in Vanity Fair. In other words, I'd rather be in that dungeon of distress, being conformed to the image of Christ, than I would be living in a life that is nothing but vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. I'm telling you, a lot of people are living that life that all everything they do is just vanity. It's lighter than feathers. It's vanity. Vanity.
Amen.
Now, I'm just about done. Stay right with me. We'll go over here in just a second, I believe. David had three classes of foes. I could use the word his contumeliousness. That means his reproach or contempt. He had enemies. They were pleased to have something to throw at him. If I go out in the road and get a box of rocks right quick, let's start throwing them at somebody. They maliciously interpreted his grief to be judgment from heaven upon him. That all surely David sinned against God. We'll just start casting a few rocks at him. Start throwing stones, talking about him. Man, get involved in something like that, it's got to be the judgment of God on his life. Not always. Maybe the blessings of God on his life.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Reproach is a little thought. Is a little thought of by those who are not called to endure it. But he who passes under its lash knows how deep its wounds can get you. And I'm going to tell you, one good... See, we don't know much about God. Brother Jerome, one good thing about them wounds, when God laid the lash, you can always expect something next.
That's right.
Oil.
Amen.
Amen. God never wounds and He don't pour in them. Healing bomb, get it in a man.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, God don't ever chase an act without pouring in the healing oil of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, when we go through it, we'll be better than we was when we went into it. We'll have more power, more understanding, more grace, more love, more mercy. And we'll love sinners more than we ever loved them before in our life. And we'll love one another, hallelujah, more than we ever have before. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I've got to bust these glasses. We'll love Jesus more than we ever loved Him in our entire life. Yes, sir. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, his neighbors, they said they fled from me. Those who are nearest can stab the sharpest. Miss Hall was back there in the bathroom getting ready over a while ago, and I walked back there. And I was sporting a little bit, to be honest about it. She had this hair, this comb, which got these little bristles on it, you know, little pins about that long. She said, how'd you like me to run these through you? I said, start with them ain't sharp enough to run through a gnat. And secondly, they ain't long enough to get through me. She said, them will go through you. I said, if them will, sis, I'm a whole lot skinnier than I thought it was. But she was standing right there beside of me. She was joking, of course. But what I'm saying is a lot of times those that are closest to you are the ones that stabs the sharpest. I've seen her over and over again, friend. David's friends feared to be identified with him in his failing estate. Therefore, they turned against him in order to win the mercy, if not the favor, of his opponents. And self-interest always rules in most men. Self-interest.
Right.
What I can get out of it for me.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to suffer any reproach if it costs me anything. Come on in the house, children. Then David's confession, verse number 12. He said, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. His youthful victories were now gone from their remembrance, and he had been the savior of the country. But his services were blurred and in oblivion. Men soon forgot. And he who is popular today may be forgotten tomorrow. You better get a hold of what I'm saying. David had delivered that country for Israel. And yet they turned on him. And persecuted him. And would have persecuted him unto death had it not been for God's intercession. Isn't that sad? How somebody can do so much for other people and yet they hate that man in the end so much. God have mercy on us. Boy, I hope I never get that way. I know some preachers that died I never dreamed it. Turn out like they've turned out. And I'm telling you, it's grieving my soul, my heart. It's breaking my heart and I don't know what to do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. But I'm grieved. I'm grieved and I never dreamed it ever turned out that way. But they have! May God have mercy. Those sometimes that you're the closest to will be the one that will knock you first.
Amen.
And then you do something good for people and they forget all about it. We forget our friends pretty easy, don't we? Them to help us and bless us. We can soon forget them. Out of sight, out of mind. And finally, David's consistency. Verses 14 through 18, I'm not going through all that, but his faith and his fight. So long as our faith, which is our shield, is safe, the battle may go hard, but its ultimate result is not even a matter of question.
Amen.
Now, if you can get a hold of that, the battle may be tough, but the result is not even in question. It's already been... It's already been settled a long time ago.
Yep.
That's right. Can you get a hold? It's already been settled a long time ago. Let the heathen rage, David said. And the people imagine a vain thing. Let them rage. For my victory and the consummation of my life in the ages has been settled a long time ago. And for some of you dear beloved friends in here that may be a little bit on the side of... Armenianism.
Amen.
The Bible said that it was all settled before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And it was.
Right.
In God's mind, not in mine.
Amen.
I'm not saying I didn't have to get saved. I did. If I hadn't got saved, I'd have went to hell. But in God's mind, He's always known.
That's right.
Isn't that, can you get a hold of that? He's always known. Do you think it took him by surprise when I walked in here one day and Brother Joel was in there and he said, Preacher, I had a call. I believe I'm telling this about halfway right anyway. I don't mean to lie about it. He said, I just had a call. There's a fella moved up here, bought some land down here by St. Charles and said he's been listening to the radio, said he wants to come to church up here. I said, well, that'd be great. Wasn't long to Brother Chuck. Come floating in through the door. Now, he may have been in here talking to you before he come to church. I don't know. But do you think God did? Do you think that when he walked in that door, do you think God said, Dolly Moses, look who went to church this morning? No. Not for your life. You know what he said? Our Chuck and Sue Ann Simpson right on time.
Yes, sir.
Right on time. Always right on time. I know Tammy and Steve probably grieving about Jordan moving away. I am. I am, and I mean that. But she's going to move away right on time. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes God's will is difficult to take. But it's always the best in the end.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Always the best in the end. It's going to be difficult on a lot of us. But it'll be right on time. Now, David was not a fair-weather Christian. He could hold his faith in a sharp front and wrap it about him as a garment fitted to keep all of the ills of time, keep out all of the ills of time. And he could.
David just took his faith and wrapped it around him.
Amen.
All the ills of his life, he just kept them out. And that way he kept Christ close and him close.
Amen.
And whatever went on out there, it happened. There was nothing he could do about it, and there's nothing you and I can do about it. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can wrap ourselves in that shield of faith. And go right on serving God.
Amen.
Let the heathen rage. Amen. Let them talk. Whatever they want to do, they're going to anyhow.
Amen.
And we can just keep on walking with Jesus in victory. Let's stand together.